This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 592. It's been a good week. Got lots of good things done this week. We had a few little things that were unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. You know, step at a time. We're moving forward. God knows all these things. So it's good. We did have a little changeover at the Rock House out at the property. So out at the campus, we call it. So the people who had been staying there with us, that was just delightful. They actually had purchased a house, and so they're moving on. And now we have a new renter in already. The little Rock House goes pretty quick. I do it by invitation, because, you know, it's a nice location. It includes utilities. There's a lot of things that are beneficial about it. Granted, it's just a little old Rock House. It's only like 600 square feet, but, you know, it's a pretty nice setting. It really, really is. And it's very peaceful, and there's horses and there's cows, and they're not mine, so I don't have to worry about them. But usually we can look around and find someone who needs a little place just to kind of decompress and kind of recover, or, you know, grow or whatever. And so we have a good young man. He's had some pretty hard hits in life, and he's a single dad. So he's raising his little kiddo all by himself. And so I had called him earlier this week, and I said, "Hey, you got it, buddy." And so he came out this morning, and we looked at it. He was real excited, and so that's good. So it seems like it's gonna work out good for him. So, anyway, so that's good. Work is good. Writing is good. I'm right on schedule. I think I know where I'm going with the book, and so it's all going to be fine. So that's all good. As far as costumes go, it's International Mustard Day tomorrow. So this one's pretty simple, which is good, though, because I'm working on International Cat Day. And this has turned out to be a little more I have made it more complicated than I was going to, simply because it didn't feel balanced. So I've added a few elements, but those elements are coming along. It's going fine. It's just a matter of just getting it all done now. But I'm doing okay. I've had some late nights this week, and it feels like I'm doing okay. I'm hoping to be finished up in a major way by this weekend. International Cat Day is not this weekend, but next weekend, so I got a little time. But then I have to get ready for International Cat Day Part 2, and then I have to get ready for Labor Day, which there's a week intervening in there. So, I wasn't sure what I was going to do for Labor Day, and then I thought, you know, I should just try this. And so I had got an idea, and I thought, yeah, sure, why not? So I have all the raw materials in for the Labor Day one, but I haven't even started it yet. But I think it's okay. I think. You know, you never know till you try. So that's all good. And God is kind. And I know in the midst of all of this that it's tempting to become concerned. But really, we don't need to be concerned right now. We need to be loving. We need to be expressing His joy and His inclusiveness. This is our time. This is our time. And I've said enough. I'm just going to be repeating myself if I go back through that again. So I've determined, you know, I'm not really going to talk about all that anymore. Because I've said what I feel like I need to say about it. And frankly, Jesus said what He needed to say about it thousands of years ago. And certainly we have not taken His advice. And I don't know why anyone would take mine. So I can keep talking about it, and people aren't going to take my advice. Jesus talked about it. They didn't take his advice, but it really is the only solution. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is the only solution. And we have in this country and in this world thought that we could just get along without him. But you know, people have to have something to believe. And if there's a vacuum, something is going to move into it. And that is precisely what has happened. People have found something to give their lives meaning. But in most incarnations of what they have found, it's a lousy religion. Because there is no redemption. There is no unity. There is only fractious divisions and condemnation. Ta-da! Moving on. So anyways, I came across an article. I'd come across this, and the article, frankly, is not that interesting, but I find it interesting that we're floating theories to try to struggle to explain stuff that maybe is better explained but seems like there has been a pervasive explanation that has functioned pretty well. At least it's functioned spectacularly well in my life. And I was just talking to a buddy, and it's functioned spectacularly well in his life. So the name of this article was, Could Consciousness All Come Down to the Way Things Vibrate? So the author of the article starts off the article by talking about, what is my awareness here? Or why is my awareness here while yours is over there? Why is the universe split into two for each of us, into a subject and an infinity of objects? How is each of us our own a center of experience receiving information about the rest of the world out there? Why are some things conscious and others apparently not? Is a rat conscious? A gnat? A bacterium? So he goes on to say, the mind-body problem enjoyed a major rebranding over the last two decades. Now it's generally known as, quote, the hard problem of consciousness. After philosopher David Chalmers coined the term in a now classic paper and further explored it in his book, The Conscious Mind in Search of a Fundamental Theory. Chalmers thought the mind-body problem should be called hard in comparison to what, tongue-in-cheek, he called the easy problems of neuroscience, i.e. how do neurons in the brains work at a physical level. Of course, they are not actually easy at all. But his point was that they're relatively easy compared to the difficult problem of explaining how consciousness relates to matter. Okay, so obviously because this guy doesn't think it's hard, he's going to tell us, you know, why. And it all comes down to them for synchronization. They said, we see this phenomenon in nature that when you have two things that are vibrating, a lot of times they sync together sympathetically. And so there was a mathematician, Stephen Strogatz, who provided a lot of examples from physics and biology and chemistry to illustrate sync, his term for resonance, in his book, Sync, How Order Emerges from Chaos in the Universe, Nature, and Daily Life. So we see fireflies, and they start flashing together. Or lasers are produced when photons of the same power and frequency sync up. The moon's rotation is exactly the same synced with orbit as it is around the Earth, such that we always see the same face. So et cetera, et cetera. So then this mathematician goes on to note that we have some major waveforms that can be measured inside our brains. that at different times our brains synchronize in these types of waves. So the three basic types are gamma and beta and theta waves, and each of them is associated with some sort of effect. So gamma waves are associated with large-scale coordinated events like perception and meditation. Beta with maximum brain function activity or arousal. Theta with relaxation or daydreaming. Okay? So these three types of waves work to produce together, or at least facilitate, the author of the article says, various types of human consciousness. Okay, well, that's kind of an a priori jump, but that's fine. According to Fry. But the exact relationship between electrical brain waves and consciousness is still very much up in debate. Fry calls his concept communication through coherence. For him, it's all about neuronal synchronization. Okay, so that's fine. Based on the observed entities around them, that surrounds us from electrons to atoms, we suggest, so this is the author, that all of these things may be viewed as little consciousnesses. Conscious, a little conscious. This sounds strange at first blush, but panpsychism, the view that all matter has some associated consciousness, is an increasingly accepted position with respect to the nature of consciousness. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, so fine. Apparently, a lot of people like this idea of panpsychism. So, the panpsychist argues that consciousness did not emerge at some point during evolution. Rather, it is always associated with matter and vice versa. They're simply two sides of the same coin. Getting my mail. One moment. But the large majority of mind associated with the various types of matter in our universe is extremely rudimentary. Okay. An atom or an electron, for example, enjoys just a tiny bit of consciousness. But as matter becomes more interconnected and rich, so does the mind, or vice versa, according to this way of thinking. So the central thesis of our approach is this. The particular linkages that allow for large-scale consciousness, like those humans and other mammals enjoy, result from a shared resonance among many other smaller constituents. The speed of the resonant waves that are present is the limiting factor that determines the size of each conscious entity at the moment. As a particular shared resonant expands to more constituents, the new conscious entity that results from this resonance and combination grows larger and more complex, etc., 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 etc. Okay, so is a group of fireflies enjoying a higher level of consciousness? Probably not. But since we can explain the phenomenon without recourse to any intelligence or consciousness, or since we can explain the phenomenon without any recourse to consciousness or intelligence, but in biological structures with the right kind of information, pathways, and processing power, these tendencies towards self-organization can and often do produce large-scale conscious entities. Okay, so, you know, I'm reading through all of this. Our resonance theory of consciousness attempts to provide a unified theory that includes neuroscience, as well as fundamental questions about neurology and biology and physics, and also the philosophies of the mind. It gets to the heart of the differences that matter when it comes to consciousness and the evolution of physical systems. It's all about the vibrations, but it's also about the types of vibrations, and most importantly, the shared vibrations. Okay, so fine. People want to come up with a theory? Fine. That's good. Come up with a theory. Write it in magazines. Tell everybody about it. That's fine. What I don't understand is why this theory is better than all the other theories that are out this, because I can't see yet from the development of this theory how any of this is falsifiable. And it is the basis of scientific investigation that it has to be falsifiable. And this is just a bunch of people saying, whoa, there's a lot of vibrations and things are vibrating. And we know that because fireflies flash together and brainwaves flash together. Okay, that does not prove anything. Those are just observed phenomena. And of course, then that brings me to everything you are seeing can be just as easily explained to say that there is some sort of ground of being underneath us that's providing all those synchronicities and vibrations and those things as well. And how do we know it's not down there? Because your theory doesn't necessarily prove it. You're just speculating. And if you get to speculate, why can't I speculate? You know, because as soon as you introduce some sort of consciousness, some sort of intelligent consciousness down at the base of our existence, of course, man goes, nope, 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 we're not having that. Which is kind of a shame. It's just kind of a shame, obviously, because there is such richness in life. Such richness. I was just talking to a buddy just before I got in the car to do this podcast. And he said, you know, this is my buddy that had just moved out of the rock house, moving into a house. He said, you know, we look back on this last year and all the things that we thought, the directions we were going, and yet we ended up in places we didn't expect to be, but when we look back, we realize, oh, this led us to that, led us to this, led us to that, led us to that. And they weren't things necessarily that they were trying to control. It was just a matter of they were moving forward with the vibrations, if you want to put it in those terms. They were moving forward. But in order to be able to move forward like that, there has to be a certain quietness. And if there is a quietness, it's amazing. It's just astonishingly amazing how things work out. It looks like we're in for exciting times ahead. Are there going to be some times when we may be low on food, low on water, low on electricity? Maybe. I have no idea. I do know that God's a good God. And if you want to call him vibrations, that's fine. He'll take it. Because I think the reason that people find the option to even entertain something like panpsychism is because somewhere in them they're saying they're experiencing this intuition. Now, maybe they're experiencing that intuition, trying to figure out a way to say, well, the human brain is not that unusual. That it's just, well, it's just the top of this, you know, little apex here on our earth, and that everything else is just smaller versions of it. And therefore, it's all the same. There's nothing special about us. I understand that they may be are trying to do that. I understand it. But out of that, though, in order to get there, then they have to instill some form of consciousness throughout the entire universe. And when they do that, I go, yup, yup. Not that I believe in pantheism, but I do believe that Jesus Christ holds all things together by the power of his will. That's what Paul says. And if he holds all things together by the power of his will on an ongoing, continual basis, if he is the reason things cohere, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians or 1 Colossians, then of course he's going to be there. And of course if you keep yourself quiet and there's little nudges and urges within you and you're quiet enough to hear them and then you follow them, of course everything's going to work out. Our new renter, I was giving him a tour around and the little rock house, and he asked about the tower, and we were talking about the tower and the internet and, you know, talking about fiber coming in here, and there's a whole bunch of that stuff I can't control. All I knew was I wanted internet. And when I talked to people, they said, well, you know, you probably have to put up a tower. Okay. And I pursued putting up a tower. I pursued starting my own business. Sold out my business when it was time. Still on good terms. Lo and behold, the company I sold my business out to is now going to be pulling in fiber. They got a $20.1 million grant from the government to haul in fiber across northern Greene County. And they're hauling the trunk line right into my property to put it right next to the tower as the head end, it's called. Okay, I couldn't have planned any of that. That's some vibration for you. Some synchronicity for you. You know, I'm out in the boonies, 8 miles north of town. And I'm going to have 200 megabits per second internet if everything goes well, up and down, because it'll be fiber. It's crazy. It's crazy. Synchronicities, vibrations, call it whatever you want. I choose to believe it's Jesus at the base of everything, working his goodwill. If you want to believe it's just vibrations, that's up to you. I like my system better because there's an intention down there. And if I get myself aligned with his intentions, wonderful things happen. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.